Hi, this is Tiffany the Last,
I'm Pirate Nick.
and we're on the phone with Tom O'Leary of Forest Ethics. Hi, Tom.
How's it going?
Good. Okay, so Forest Ethics is an organization that's dedicated to the protection of forests. Tell us how you got started in the organization.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Basically, I have a background in corporate advertising, and after 6 years of that, it was taking sort of a toll, and I was an extended sabbatical working at a bookstore in Boulder, Colorado. And after about 3 years of that, I decided to apply some of the skills I'd learned in the corporate world towards some sorts of cause that I believed in. So about 2 years ago, I applied for a job here at Forest Ethics, and I've been with them ever since.
Now, did your experience in the corporate world kind of leave you a little jaded and yearning for the kind of job that you have now?
You could say that, yeah. It was, it just wasn't, there was something lacking. There was something in my soul that was saying, please feed me. That's pretty much why I booked out, moved to Colorado. But it was valuable in that I learned, pretty good skills that I could apply towards the different ends.
Forest Ethics has had some amazing activist techniques and market-based strategies that you've been part of personally, and it's also led to environmental corporate reform from companies such as Home Depot, Staples, Office Depot, and most recently Limited Brands, and because of your Victoria's Secret campaign. Can you tell us what Forest Ethics asks for in their industrial reform campaigns?
Well, basically, it depends on the sector, but our demand set is you've pretty much got four major components that we're asking for from industry. The first is that they increase recycled content in their office supplies or catalogs, that they use Forest Stewardship Council certification or FSC certification. The FSC is the only credible forest certification system out there. So we're asking that, use recycled content as much as you can, and where recycled is not available, use fiber or paper that is sustainably harvested. So the FSC certification gives you the assurance that the trees have not been clear cut, that they've been sustainably cut. So recycled content, increase FSC. We also ask them to reduce paper use, because that's obviously a big issue with, how many catalogs are sent out, especially that's a big item. And paper use, it's not only about how many catalogs you send out, but also the number of pages in the catalog, et cetera. And the fourth is that we demand that these companies take leadership in their respective industries. We've found that when we go into an industry, it's best to target companies that have the capacity to be leaders, to sort of set the bar for the rest of the industry. And that's what we found with some of the catalog companies we've worked with, in addition to Limited Brands, which is the parent company of Victoria's Secret. There's also Dell and Williams-Sonoma, who have both worked with us without us ever running a public campaign against them. And what we found is that when these companies take on a leadership role when it comes to environmental issues, the rest of the industry then has a standard they need to live up to. And consumers start to see that, hey, these companies are doing the right thing. Why aren't the other companies in the industry doing the right thing as well?
This all comes down to protecting forests. So, what are some of the areas in the world that you have major concerns about?
The primary area of interest for Forest Ethics has been Canada. We were born out of a fight to save the Clackwat Rainforest, which is off the coast of British Columbia. And ever since, we've had a great interest in the forests of Canada. We have a number of staff who live in those forests. We have foresters who work on those forests. There are several areas of Canada: the boreal forest, the inland temperate rainforest, which is off the coast of British Columbia, and the Great Bear Rainforest, which is on the coast of British Columbia. those are some of the ones that we work on. But we also work on forests in Chile, and we are just beginning work on a campaign to save the Sierra Nevada mountains, the forests of the Sierra, here in California.
Mm-hmm. And what will that campaign consist of?
Well, it's just in its beginning stages, but you know, a lot of the campaigns that we were just talking about focus on a specific industry.
Mm-hmm.
But we also run campaigns that are better known in Canada that focus on a specific forest. Obviously, in Canada, they have a much greater interest in their forests. So we run campaigns that are boreal forest focused, mm-hmm. or Great Bear rainforest focused. And so this will be one of those campaigns that will be region focused, but here in the U.S., because you know, especially here in California, people don't necessarily know what the boreal forest is, but they certainly know what the Sierra are.
Yeah.
They go to the Sierra to ski, they go there to hike. It's a very well-known local resource. And so we're going to be working to fight one of the major clear-cutters of the Sierra, a company called Sierra Pacific Industries. Mm-hmm. They have already clear-cut hundreds of thousands of acres in the Sierra, and they have plans to clear cut a million more.
Whoa.
So, yeah. And we're, you know, that's a considerable swath of California they have plans to completely destroy. And so we are going to be focusing a lot of efforts on stopping them. It's a major task. They are funded by, they have received tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer funds to clear cut the Sierra Nevada. And that is just, to us, completely absurd. And we'll be working at getting that story out there.
So what is the other option then for a paper source? Obviously, there's post-consumer recycled content, but that seems to only be a small portion of the paper. So where is the wood coming from and the pulp coming from?
Well, a lot of our work is to determine just that. We work to establish what's called chain of custody. So we go into, whether it's the office supply sector or the catalog sector, we trace the paper back to its source. So we find the paper, someone's catalog or copy paper, is coming from an endangered forest. We advocate for something else. Now you're asking, what is that something else? Now, post-consumer content, post-consumer recycled content, is obviously, you know, best because it's not coming from trees at all. But there are other options that are you know pretty close to equally good, and that's this FSC certified fiber. The big difference with something that's FSC certified fiber is that you know it's coming from a sustainably managed forest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not destroying endangered forests. Another criteria that I actually forgot to mention at the beginning of our interview, which is a key one, is that we ask these companies to stay out of endangered forests.
Mm.
Endangered forests are a scientific classification that's applied to specific forest regions that are defined as critical because they support a specific kind of species that's threatened, because they have certain kinds of trees that are threatened, et cetera. So FSC means, okay, it's not coming from an endangered forest, it's not coming from a tree farm, it's coming from an actual forest that's not being destroyed.
So, in other words, not being clear-cut?
Exactly.
Okay. So what are the practices that the logging companies are using when they're not clear-cutting to sustainably farm the trees? Well, not farm. It's not farm.
Yeah, we generally refer to it as sustainable harvesting.
Okay.
And that's kind of, in a way, a good analogy, because it's harvesting in the same way that you would harvest a crop. When you harvest the crop, you don't destroy the land so nothing, you know, will grow there next
mm-hmm.
year. You do crop rotations, right? And so you don't just blow away everything all at once one year. And in a way, it's a good analogy, just because it's amazing. You can really see there's a website called don'tbuysfi.org, and that there are some very vivid demonstrations of what a clear-cut forest looks like and what a sustainably managed forest looks like. Mm-hmm. SFI is a competing certification that's really just an industry rubber stamp. And so it's amazing when you look at one of these forests, the difference between something that's been clear cut and one that's been sustainably cut. The one that's been sustainably cut still looks like a forest. there's still, you know, there's still trees there.
Right.
And, you know, whereas like a clear cut one just looks like basically the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad. My mom's told me stories where she's been hiking in the Sierras and then they come up and they could just look down and there it all is, all just clear cut.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, we've seen editorials written by people who know the landscape and live out in the Sierra, and they've said that, you know, once you step foot onto one of these clear cuts, even ones that are called, even ones that the industry claims are sustainably managed, it doesn't look like a forest at all. Either it's this barren landscape or it's these tree farms. And in these tree farms are like just these, they're literally rows of trees and there's no vegetation around them. The vegetation is just destroyed. It's like with herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't support wildlife. It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
So we talked about the catalogs and your campaigns with those companies producing the catalogs. What about the office supply stores like Staples, Office Depot? How's it going with them and the paper that they sell?
Well, back in 2003, we achieved some major victories with Staples, and then later with Office Depot. I think Staples might have been 2002, but anyway, we got both of those companies to agree to major environmental policies, and it was an important step just because before we entered this industry, that there were no environmental safeguards in place. These companies had no criteria for their paper.
That's astounding.
Yeah, they were buying this ridiculous amount of paper, and there were no environmental criteria set. So what we got Staples and Office Depot to do was, in the first place, to actually develop an environmental policy and to start applying it. And so those were some key victories, and it was amazing. In 2005, we sort of keep an eye on these independent industry reports, and we saw a report in 2005 by the leading reporting agency that said that recycled pulp mills were operating at record high capacity, and they contributed the change to demand from Staples and Office Depot.
Wow.
So it was this incredible, like, you know, seeing the effect of the work in this independently verified and very tangible way. It was very exciting. But our work continues in the office supply sector because there are some laggards still in the industry. Office Max is one of them. They're very recalcitrant on a lot of issues. They're still clear-cutting in several key areas. And the work continues, you know, with even the companies that make commitments. There's now, you know, the job is for us is making sure that those commitments are lived up to, and so we still have relationships with those companies, and a lot of times once those companies are willing to take a leadership role, it can make a big difference, because, you know, logging companies might not listen to a bunch of environmental activists like us, mm-hmm. but they're definitely going to listen to some of their biggest customers,
right.
Like Staples and Office Depot.
Do you foresee in the future that any of this would become regulations handed down by the government that they'll have to follow, or we'll just be looking for leaders in the industry?
It's hard to know. You know, a lot of the work that we do in Canada focuses on legislative protection. We just got the government of British Columbia to agree to protect 5 million acres of the Great Barrier Rainforest.
Oh, great.
About a year ago. Yeah, that was really exciting. And that's obviously a huge tool. But in the U.S., because we're just beginning our first U.S. forest campaign, that's still kind of a nascent thing for us. We haven't really done much with U.S. legislation, but we've definitely had a lot with provincial and national legislation in Canada.
I just wanted to talk a little bit more about your catalog sector campaign, and I think that's when your name, Forest Ethics, back in 2003, I think it was brought to light. You got a lot of media coverage by that campaign against Victoria's Secret because they were sending out a million catalogs a day. Can you just explain that campaign and then what's next for the, if the campaign's still going on and what's going to be coming up with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we launched this campaign. Basically, the way that we approached the catalog sector was to put the whole industry on notice, and that's what we did in 2003. And we didn't launch against Victoria's Secret in particular until a year later because we genuinely wanted to give these companies a chance to change their practices. One of them actually did, Williams-Sonoma. We narrowed our list down to six of the worst offenders, and Williams-Sonoma was one of them, and they actually took a very proactive approach and instituted a good policy. But we narrowed that list down of six down to one in the fall of 2004, and it was Victoria's Secret, and they were the leader in the industry. They were a very recognizable brand, obviously. Part of what we're able to do is, you know, we can't necessarily affect a company's sales, but we can definitely affect their brand. And so with Victoria's Secret, since they sent out a very large number of catalogs, and because they were very closely associated with their catalog, you know, everybody knows the Victoria's Secret catalog, mm-hmm. We decided to make them the target of the campaign. So it really, from a media standpoint, it was a tremendous success. We, across the 2 years of the campaign, we had hundreds of media stories come out. We were covered on the Today Show and USA Today and Time Magazine. There were just many major outlets that really picked up this idea of Victoria's dirty secret, mm-hmm. as we called it.
That's a great name.
Thanks. Yeah, that was part of what we were hoping for, is to make something that would be, you know, catchy and would catch a foothold in the media, and it did. We, with our first New York Times ad that we ran, which pictured a woman with a chainsaw wearing lingerie, that was something that got us a lot of our first media attention. And so the public started to pay attention to the problem, but, you know, perhaps, you know, equally importantly, the company started to pay attention. They hadn't been returning our calls until that first New York Times ad came out. And then we started to get involved in a dialogue. And the dialogue with them actually became very encouraging. And as time went on, we started to realize that, you know, behind the scenes, we were dealing with a company that really did want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, last year, on December 6th, we announced a joint agreement with them to establish a new paper policy that included all the things that I mentioned before: protection of endangered forests, increased recycled and FSC content, leadership in the industry. They've actually, one of their senior vice presidents has actually accompanied us in recent months to visit Canadian government officials to say to Canadian government officials, you need to protect your forests.
Yeah.
So they've really embraced, like, taking this leadership role, and I think they actually, like, genuinely pride themselves on it, you know, that this is something that they want to do the right thing about. So now that Victoria's Secret's come along, and other big players like Dell and Williams-Sonoma have as well, we're looking at the rest of the industry. And in the next few months, we'll probably be narrowing down the list of some of the companies that we're targeting. And eventually, most likely, you know, if we don't see movement from those companies, we'll run another campaign against the specific cataloger in the way that we did with Victoria's Secret.
So if you look at a Victoria's Secret's catalog now, do they have a certification on the back there, that forest certification?
I don't know if they're actually printing it yet. Eventually, I think they will. One of the nice things is that they, within the course of our campaign, they shifted all of their clearance catalogs to a high recycled content, which is about 10% of their overall catalog production. And I think those have the certification on it. I think it's too, I don't think that the catalogs themselves indicate their content yet.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing process. One of the things that they agreed to was, you know, one of the crazy things about this industry is that if they wanted to go completely 100% post-consumer right now, they couldn't, because there's not enough supply. And the reason there's not enough supply is that there's not enough demand.
Mm.
So with Victoria's Secret starting to make this demand, there'll be more and more recycled content, more and more FSC content for the company to buy. And then you'll see that one of the things that they committed to on December 6th was continual improvement on their environmental content of their paper. And so, and they also agreed to an independent third-party audit of that. So as they continue to improve, I would imagine you'll start to see that reflected on something that they print, although I'm not sure if they've decided to print it on the catalogs themselves.
Well, thanks. I mean, your organization's work is so great. It not only you're educating the industry, but also the consumers little by little. I think more and more people, it's just becoming mainstream and more accepted that this is what we have to do. And
thank you. It's really one of our, one of the most rewarding things for us is that we start to see it become, you know, we go into an industry that never even had the discussion before, and then you start to see not only is it, it goes beyond not just a discussion, it starts to become the norm. It starts to become something that's, that people think about as a matter of course, and that's one of the most rewarding things about it.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, where could people go to find out more if they're interested in getting involved?
Absolutely. So our website is forestethics.org, and that's where they can sign up to take part in actions. We have a place where you can donate to our cause and our campaign, and you can also learn about the other campaigns that we run to save those forests that I mentioned in Canada, like the boreal forest and the Inland Temperate Rainforest, and also about some of the work that we're doing with companies to get them to reform their practices.
Right.
Great.
That is forestethics.org.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We would like to get one last thing out of you. This is Pirate Pod, so we'd like to get our interviewers to give us their best pirate impression, if you can do that for us.
Arr, I think I can do that for you, mate.
That was sort of an English pirate.
You know, it was so funny. A friend of mine was going to Ireland recently, and I can't really do an Irish accent. So for some reason, I decided to do a pirate accent.
They're kind of similar, actually.
Yeah, you know, last name's O'Leary, so.
Yeah, I know.
I had to come up with something.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care now. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.